into your presence, I bow before you. I lift my voice, I lift my head. My praise arises into your throne room. I will proclaim you in all the land. What a mighty God we serve. What a mighty God we serve. What a mighty God we serve. Say, what a mighty, mighty, mighty God we serve. What a 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 mighty, mighty, mighty God we serve. You are the great everlasting Father, the one who was and is to come. Alpha, Omega, the Lion of Judah, the great I am, the anointed one. Into your presence I bow before you. I lift my voice, I lift my head. My praise arises into your throne room. I will proclaim you in all the land. As the great everlasting Father, the one who was and is to come. Alpha, Omega, the Lion of Judah, the great I am, the anointed one. Into your presence I bow before you. I lift my voice, I lift my head. My praise arises into your throne room. I will proclaim you in all the land. What a mighty God we serve. What a mighty God we serve. What a mighty God we serve. Say, what a mighty, mighty, mighty God we serve. What a mighty God we serve. What a mighty God we serve. What a mighty God we serve. What a
mighty, mighty, mighty God we serve. Hallelujah. Is the Lord good tonight? Yeah. What a mighty, 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 mighty God we serve.
Hallelujah.
Can you tell somebody, He is my mighty God? And there's no God like our God.
Yes.
He's one. And he's
Hallelujah.
Number one. Hero Israel. The Lord our God is still one Lord. One Lord, one faith, and one baptism.
Yes.
We're glad you're here tonight. We'd like our ushers to come at this time. We come to bless the Lord by giving to God. You can't outgive God. No way you can outgive God. And we want to bless the Lord tonight. This goes to our section. And we want to bless the Lord. And we don't take offerings here. We receive them. If you take something, you're a thief. The Lord loves those that give. So tonight we're going to give to the Lord. And the way we do it, we don't pass a plate. You bring it to the Lord. So tonight you march and give. And we want you to come and just march and bring it. And while you're doing that, shake at least two or three hands. You may not know that person. Welcome them and tell them, let's have church. Amen. Give the Lord that praise tonight. God bless you. Bring your gift to God tonight. Hey.
this place. Every heart, you are transforming. Come anew, have your glory. Darkness trembles, mountains crumble. When you draw near to us, you draw near to us. Strongholds breaking, destinies changing.
God feel. Hallelujah. Amen. In Acts chapter 2, and I think we all know it, says when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven, as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. You see, that was the Holy Ghost. That was the promise that Joel had spoken about. And right before he left, he said, I'm not going to leave you comfortless. I'm not going to leave you by yourself. I will come to you. Amen. I know we've all been in situations. We've all been through a trial. And we say, God, I can't do this on my own. God, I'm in too deep. I need your help. Amen. What you need is the Holy Ghost. And if you've got it, if you've got the Holy Ghost, you can do it. You may be like, I can't do it. But with God's help and the Holy Ghost, you can.
Jesus with the Holy Ghost. Yeah. Don't you dare give up. Hanging, hanging, hanging. Don't you dare give up. Hanging, hanging, hanging. Don't you dare give up. Hanging up power. I shall have power. I shall have power. I shall have power.
I shall have power.
I shall have power.
Power to talk right.
I shall have power.
Power to walk right.
I shall have power.
I shall have power.
I shall have power. Hanging, hanging, hanging. Don't you dare give up. Hanging, hanging, hanging. Don't you dare give up.
Test 1, 2, 3. I shall have power.
Yes.
Has anybody got the power of the Holy Ghost in this place tonight? Is anybody thankful for the Holy Ghost and the power that comes with the Holy Ghost? My Lord. Woo! Surely the presence of the Lord is in this place tonight. I said, surely. The presence of the Lord is in this place tonight. It's so evident from the front to the back, from side to side. The Lord is in this place tonight. I'm telling you, He's wanting to do something great in this house. He never ceases to amaze me. You can return to your seats if you'd like. The Lord never ceases to amaze me. I did not ask them to sing that last song. And if you would stand with me, I'm going to read the Bible a little bit. We might try and preach a little bit. Y'all want to have church? Anybody come to have church? I did not ask them to sing that last song. And I didn't even know the last song when she told me they were singing it. I didn't know the words in it. But we're going to preach about the power of the Holy Ghost tonight. Ain't that just how God works? My, my, my. If you would turn with me in your Bibles to the book of Acts, chapter 1. So good to be in the house of the Lord tonight. Brother Crosswhite, I appreciate you for opening up your beautiful sanctuary. Can we thank Brother Crosswhite and their church for opening this beautiful facility? Isn't this place awesome? This is awesome. Amen. It is good to have my bishop in the house tonight. The presbyter of this section, I get to call him Bishop, Brother Mark Green. I'm thankful to have him in my life. Are you thankful your presbyter's here tonight? I'm looking for my pastor. He must be running late a little bit. Oh, there he is, right there. Hey, Pastor, we're talking about you. I love you, Pastor. I'm glad you're here. My wife's here tonight after just giving birth to our beautiful baby boy. Our beautiful baby boy. This is his first church service to be in. And he gets to hear old dad preach, and I'm sorry for it. He'll probably be crying here in a few minutes. But it's good to have my wife in here. Amen. And I'm just glad the Lord's in this place tonight. I feel him in this house. Did anybody come expecting God to do great things in this place? Amen. Amen. Acts chapter 1, verse 8. And one more person I didn't recognize, our brand new youth president, Brother Seth Williams, tried to slip in here. We honor you tonight, brother. We love you. Appreciate you. Amen. Acts chapter 1, verse 8. I think most all of us probably know it. Very familiar passage of scripture. And like I said, I didn't ask him to sing that last song. I didn't ask Brother Aaron to preach my message already, but there's a flow of the Holy Ghost that's in this room right now, and he's trying to speak in this house, so let's just continue on what we feel, amen? Acts chapter 1, verse 8 says, "But ye shall receive power." Everybody say power. "After that, the Holy Ghost is come upon you." Ain't that awesome? We just sang about it. "And ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth." Now, if you would, put your Bible down for a moment. What I'm going to ask us to do, I feel like we're all just kind of looking around, waiting on something to happen. For the next few moments, I know this is a little unconventional. I want us to lift our hands across this house, and I want us to begin to pray, and I want us to begin to ask God to move in this house in a mighty way. And if you have the Holy Ghost, I want you to begin to pray with power that the Lord has given you. And I want us to pray across this house till something begins to shake, till something begins to break. I feel expectation in this house. Lord, we lift you up right now, Lord. I feel your presence in this place, Lord. Surely your power is in this house, Lord. Your all authoritative power, Lord. The power of the Holy Ghost, Lord. We call on the mighty name of Jesus Christ right now, Lord. Surely you're in this room, Lord. We ask you that you would move in this house, God. Break the chains that would hold us back from revival, God. Move in this house. Let your will be done, God. And we'll give you all the glory, all the praise for what you're about to do. I feel your power in this room, Jesus. I feel your power in this room. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And for the next few moments, I'm going to preach on the subject, protect the power. Protect the power. You may be seated. Turn to your neighbor and say, protect the power. The other neighbor, turn to him and say, protect the power. Amen. In the book of Matthew, chapter 10, verse 1, it reads, and Jesus called unto him his 12 disciples, and he gave them power against unclean spirits to cast them out and to heal all manner of sickness and disease. Verse 7 would say, and as ye go, preach, saying the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, cast out devils. Freely ye received and freely give. Mark chapter 3 would read like this. And Jesus went up into a mountain and called unto him whom he would, and they came to him. And he ordained 12 that they should be with him, that he might send them forth to preach and to have power to heal sicknesses and to cast out devils. That word power there in Matthew chapter 10 verse 1. And that word power in the book of Mark chapter 3 verse 15 is the Greek word exousia. Exousia, if you will, which means authority or jurisdiction. Everybody say exousia if you can. That word power in those chapters means authority. And so I find where Jesus gave them the authority, his disciples, the authority to do these things, to heal the sick. He gave them the authority to cleanse the lepers. He gave them the authority to raise the dead and to cast out devils. Now we know that Jesus is the only one with the authority over anything. The devil doesn't have the authority. We don't have the authority. Jesus is the only one with authority. Amen. But I find where Jesus gave his disciples the same authority that he had. You see, his disciples, I believe, literally had the power that he had. They didn't have the Holy Ghost like we know it today. Jesus was literally with them. He didn't have to be inside them because they could rub shoulders with him. And so what he did was he imparted the power that he had to his disciples for that temporary amount of time. And I believe that his disciples went around and they began to heal people and they began to cleanse the lepers and they began to raise up the dead and they began to cast out devils because that was what Jesus gave them. He gave them the power, exousia, authority to do those things. And then Jesus begins to tell them that he's going to be delivered into the hands of men, that he would not be with them much longer. Then he gives them what is referred to as the promise of the Father. He began to prophesy in the book of John chapter 14, starting at verse 15. He said, if you love me, keep my commandments, and I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter. Somebody say comforter. He just talked about it. And I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him. But ye know him, for he dwelleth with you, and he shall be in you. I'm going somewhere. Hang on with me tonight. I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. This is the promise of the Father. Brother, skip down to verse 26. It says, but the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name. He shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I have said unto you. I'm thankful tonight to know that the Holy Ghost came in the name of Jesus Christ. It's not in the name of any other God that's overseas. It's not in a fake God that's dead. There's one true living God, and we talked about it earlier, and his name is Jesus Christ, and he prophesied of it in John chapter 14 that there's a comforter coming, and he's going to be the Holy Ghost, and he's coming in the name of Jesus Christ. Is anybody thankful to know the name of Jesus Christ tonight? Woo! This is the promise of the Father, that he would not leave them comfortless. He would send a comforter, which is the Holy Ghost. Then we know Jesus, as he talked about, he's going to be delivered into the hands of men. Jesus is crucified. They put him in the tomb, and we know that he resurrects on the third day. Matthew chapter 28 would read like this. Then the 11 disciples went away into Galilee, into a mountain where Jesus had appointed them. You see, he died on the third day, resurrected, and called him to a mountain, and he was going to give them something. In verse 17 of that same chapter, that says, when they saw him, they worshiped him, but some doubted. Matthew 28, verse 18 says, and Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. You see that word power right there is also the word exousia, which means authority. And so Jesus said, all authority, all exousia is given unto me in heaven and in earth. And then he began to commission them. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Luke chapter 24, verse 49 says, and behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you, but ye tarry in the city of Jerusalem until ye be endued with power from on high. And here's where we're going. You see, his disciples had the power to heal. His disciples had the power to cast out devils, to cleanse the lepers, to do all these things that Jesus himself had the power to do. But he was going up into heaven. And so he said, you know what? All exousia, all authority that you have, I'm taking it back. He said, all exousia is given unto me. Everything in heaven and everything in earth, I have the authority of it now. You don't have it anymore. That's how I read it. But he also prophesied. Luke wrote it down. And he said, wait in Jerusalem, for you're going to be endued with power from on high. You see, that word power there in Luke is not the word exousia. It's not authority. It's not jurisdiction. That word is dunamis. That word power right there, dunamis in the Greek, simply means ability. It simply means a supernatural army. They're tied together. And so he told them, you're going to be endued with ability from on high. And so this is where we get to our text. The prophecy will be fulfilled. He said, Acts chapter 1, verse 8, but ye shall receive power. That right there is once again dunamis, which means ability. After that, the Holy Ghost has come upon you. I've come to tell you today that when you receive the Holy Ghost, you did not receive authority. Oh, what kind of preacher do we have tonight? You tell me I ain't got the authority. No, you do not have the authority. You have the ability. When you receive the Holy Ghost and are baptized in Jesus' name, you have the name of Jesus Christ applied to your life. He is the one true living God inside of you, and you have that name on you. And Acts 1 and 8 says, after you receive this Holy Ghost, you're drafted into a supernatural army that has ability. But what ability do I have, preacher? You don't have the authority to lay hands on the sick. You have the ability to lay hands on the sick, but you have the ability to call on the one that has the authority. Woo! You don't have the exousia. You have the ability to call on the one that does. I myself can't lay hands on the sick unless I call on the name of Jesus Christ, the all-powerful name of Jesus Christ. For there's only one name under heaven given among men I don't have the authority, but I have the ability to call on the one that has the authority. And we find in Acts chapter 2 where the outpouring of the Holy Ghost is fulfilled. And there the church was endued with this power, with this exousia from on high as the Lord prophesied. And can I tell us today that this promise of the Father is still alive today, because Peter stood up and said, this is what the prophet Joel said. In the last days, I will pour out of my spirit. Does anybody believe that we're in the last days tonight? Hey, this is the greatest hour to be living for the church, because in the last days he's going to pour out of his spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters and your young people in section 7 are going to prophesy. They're going to see dreams. They're going to have visions, because we got the ability of the Holy Ghost. My God, I've come to confront the lie of the enemy today that would tell this generation that you have no power, that would try to convince your churches that you do not have power. I've come to rebuke that lie in the name of Jesus. My God, you do have power. You do have ability, but it's not the authority. You call on the name of Jesus, because you yourself are nothing, but with him we have everything. You do have power. This church has power. And when you receive the Holy Ghost, you were drafted into a supernatural army that has power. Turn to your neighbor and say, I got the power. You may be seated for a moment. I got the power. Where's the screen to? If you could put my title slide up. I'm just using y'all to catch my breath right now. When you receive the Holy Ghost, you don't have the authority. You have access to the name that does. The Lord intended it that way. So we don't depend on ourselves. We depend on him. If I had the power that the disciples had, I'd just go around and I would glory in myself, because I wouldn't have to call on nobody else to do it. I'd just be doing it. And the disciples handled it well for a period of time. But we don't have that power today. We just have to call on the name that does. That's why the Bible says in Mark chapter 16, and these signs shall follow them that believe. That's us. Anybody believe tonight? These signs shall follow them that believe in my name. Somebody hear it tonight. In my name, they shall cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents. And if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. There's a key contingent right there. In my name. That's why in John chapter 14, he said, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do shall he do also. And greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father. And whatsoever ye shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you shall ask anything in my name, does anybody believe that tonight? If you shall ask anything in my name, I will do it. I don't have the authority, but he told me that whatsoever I ask in his name, that's what he's going to do. So when I go home after school and I get in my prayer closet and I begin to plead the blood of God and the name of Jesus Christ over my friends, I believe that that's what he's going to do. He's going to bring them in. When I begin to call on the name of Jesus, when somebody's got sickness in their body, I believe that he's going to heal them. When I begin to call on the name of Jesus, when somebody's possessed with a devil, I believe that it's going to come out. Because he said, if you'd ask anything in my name, I will do it. And he said, greater works than these are you going to do. How can we do greater works than Jesus Christ? He literally walked around raising the dead. He literally walked around healing people. Peter cut one dude's ear off and he just picked it up, put it right back on his head like nothing happened. How are we going to do greater things than Jesus did? I've come to tell us tonight that I don't believe that we're going to do anything more significant than Jesus did. But I believe that when he said greater works, I believe that he meant that in number. I believe that he meant that in number. I believe that this is the generation that's going to see a multitude of a harvest. I believe that you are the generation that's going to go and prophesy. And you're the generation that's going to go and lay hands on the sick in the name of Jesus Christ. I believe that you're the generation that's going to see the greater works, but not anything more significant. No, you're just going to see it more in number. You're going to see it tenfold, 20-fold, because you're the greatest generation to walk this earth. I see you're the greatest generation to walk this earth. I wish anybody believed that would clap their hands, would lift their voice. Greater works. Are you catching on, young people? I'm trying to tell you that you have the ability to lay hands in Walmart on the diabetic and call on the name of Jesus and them get healed. I'm telling you, at school, your friend that struggles with crippling anxiety, you can walk up to him and put your hand on him in the name of Jesus Christ and they'll be healed. Does anybody believe that tonight? You have the ability to lay hands on the lame. You have the ability to lay hands on the dumb and the deaf and the blind and call on the name of Jesus, and something's going to happen. You may be seated for a moment. There was a young man. I'm skipping a few things. Feel the Holy Ghost moving in this house. There was a young man that I went to school with. Are we live streaming, Brother Crosswhite? Oh, well. His name was Ben. We'll call him Ben. Maybe his name wasn't Ben. And I went to school with Ben. And Ben struggled with what a lot of people are struggling with today. A spirit that's running rampant in this world. Ben struggled with homosexuality. He was one of those people that you didn't really associate with. I'm a child of God. I can't be around those people. He kind of creeped me out, for lack of a better term. But everybody deserves the Holy Ghost. And so I went through high school, and I missed a real good opportunity to witness to Brother Ben. I let that one fall. I didn't witness to him. And it came later on that I was on that one devil website, Facebook. And I saw that Ben had made a post on Facebook, and he said, "Can somebody help me further my walk with God?" I said, "Oh, come on." I let it go in high school, but I wasn't letting it go again. Let me pause right here. Young people, don't let it go in high school. You need to reach your school right now. Now is the time. Now is the time. Quite frankly, I don't know how much longer that we have. I'm not here to preach doom and gloom. I'm not here to preach the end of the world's coming tomorrow. It could be. It could be. Amen. He could come at any time. And so I saw this Facebook post, and I began to talk to him. I messaged him on Messenger. I said, "Hey, man, I have what you need." He began to talk to me. I said, "What's going on? You know, what makes you want to further your walk with God?" And it turns out that Ben had not only fell into homosexuality at a very young age, but he had also fell into witchcraft under the age of 20. Let Brother Jackson send out a warning tonight. And I'm not here to scare you, but witchcraft is so real. You've got to be so careful. And this is why I'm preaching about what I'm preaching about tonight. I'm going to get to my title in a minute, that we've got to protect the power. Because when you begin to give heed to the seducing spirits of this world, it will take you further than you ever want to go. And so Brother Ben, I reached out to him, and I'm telling him that he needs the Holy Ghost, and he's struggling with homosexuality and witchcraft. I said, bro, let me tell you what you need. You need the Holy Ghost. Straight and simple, that's what we've got to do, is tell them that they need the Holy Ghost. I said, man, you've been struggling with this. You've been struggling with witchcraft. I believe that when you get the Holy Ghost, that God will completely deliver you from that instantly. I told him that. I can show you the text messages right now. And I said, you need to come and be baptized. And I said, when you come up out of that water, nothing that ever harmed you before is going to harm you again. And that was on like a Monday. So Wednesday came, and I'm sitting in the front waiting on Ben to walk in, and he never walked in. And I got a little discouraged. I texted him that Wednesday night, and he didn't text me back. I said, okay, whatever. He didn't want it, you know. And Friday, Ben texted me, and he said, I've been thinking about everything that you said. He said, I'm gonna come get baptized Sunday for sure. I said, why the hesitation? What's been going on? Why are you so sure now? And he said, Jackson, since I've been struggling with witchcraft, at night I see things in my room, and they come and mess with me. Things that I have dealt with in my past that I don't want to deal with anymore. Spirits that would come and bother him because he played with things that he never should have played with. And so I told him, I said, Ben, when you come out of that water and you have the name of Jesus Christ applied to your life, you have more power than any devil in hell. More power in your pinky finger than any devil in hell, than all the devils in hell combined. And I said, when you come out of that water, every spirit that's been bothering you, I believe is going to leave in the name of Jesus. Because when you go home, you're walking in with the name of Jesus applied. And so Sunday morning came, and he didn't show up. But Sunday night came, and he walked in. And Brother Ben, you would have never known it. You would have thought Brother Ben had been in church for 20 years. He came and he sat right there on the front row. And as soon as the first key was played, he came in with hands lifted. He was ready for deliverance. We go through church. He's with the preacher. He's with everything. And we get him in the water. And he's sitting there. And you could tell he's just so excited for a change in his life finally. He's ready for the things that have been bothering him to completely leave him alone. I believe that if we didn't hurry up and baptize him, that he probably would have just baptized himself. He was ready. He was over it. He was done with the old lifestyle. But when he went down in that water, he came out of that water speaking with other tongues. As the Spirit gave the utterance. And it wasn't no little speaking in tongues. He was speaking with boldness and authority. Because he had the name of Jesus Christ applied to his life. Young people, we have what this world needs. You have the power of the Holy Ghost. We have power over every sickness, over every disease, over every mental illness, over every enemy in hell. That next night I asked Ben, I said, how'd you sleep? He said, nothing bothered me. He said, nothing bothered me. A week goes by. I said, Ben, what's going on? He said, nothing's been bothering me. He said, I've been delivered. Because that's what happens when you apply the name of Jesus Christ and you receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost. You're endued with power from on high. But here's where we're going. Brother Ben stayed around for, you can be seated. Brother Ben hung around for about another month or two. And then he began to slip a little bit. He began to go visit some other churches. Some other churches that didn't quite preach all the truth. They watered it down a little bit, and it seemed to fit his liking more. He didn't really want a pastor in his life to help guide him and direct him. He wanted to do a work for God, but he didn't want to wait with a pastor. And so he went off into Colorado. And I haven't heard from him in 2 years. I don't know what's going on. I don't know what's going on in his life. I reach out to him all the time. As far as I know, and from what I figured before he left, he wasn't really doing good. And this is what I've came to talk to us tonight about. I wanted to let you know that you have the power. But what I've really come to tell us is that we've got to protect the power. And the Holy Ghost is sweeping in here in a very sweet way right now. We've got to protect the power. And so if you allow me to, for the next few moments, I want to endeavor to tell you that you've got to protect this power. I'm reminded of a man in the Bible by the name of Samson. In the book of Judges, Samson was very tall. He had big muscles. He probably wore a blue suit to church with brown shoes. He probably had glasses. He was probably a really good-looking man. He reminded me of myself a little bit. I'm just kidding. Kinda. Brother Samson was prophesied to in his mother's dream. An angel came to her in her dream and said that you're about to have a baby. And he told her in this dream to not let him drink wine or strong drink, nor could he eat anything that was unclean. Also that no razor would come upon his head, for he shall begin to deliver Israel out of the hand of the Philistines. You see, Samson was told in his mother's womb that he was to be a Nazarite. You see, there were specific guidelines and restrictions involved with the Nazarite vow or covenant. Three guidelines are given to the Nazarites. Numbers chapter 6 lets us know the Nazarites are to abstain from wine or any fermented drink that included drinking grape juice or grapes or raisins, stuff like that. Next, the Nazarite was not to cut his hair for the length of the vow. Last, he was not to go near a dead body because that would make him ceremonially unclean. So Samson had this covenant with God. And this is where his strength came from. You see, the strength was not necessarily in his hair. The strength was in the covenant that he had with God. Samson's power was not in the fact that he didn't drink certain things. It was in the fact that he gave it to God and said, I'm not going to do this so I can have your power. Samson didn't have the power of the Holy Ghost like we know it today, but we know Samson to be a very powerful man. I find it interesting, though, that before Samson was even born, that his mother, while he was in the womb, was asked to do of the same angel pretty much the exact same vow that Samson was going to have to partake of. I also find where the father of Samson, Manoah, makes certain sacrifices as well until Samson is born. And when Samson is born, the Bible says that the child grew and the Lord blessed him. You see, I believe that Samson was blessed at a young age because of the obedience to the word of God by Samson's parents. They were given specific guidelines to set in place before he was even born. And when Samson was born, he followed the guidelines that his parents gave him that were directly from God. Hear this young preacher tonight, young people. We have got to hold true to the guidelines and the barriers that our elders and our forefathers set before us. That is the key to our power. You can have all the power that you want to, but if you don't protect the power that you've got, then you're going to lose it. Now is not the time to be pushing back against the sacrifices and consecrations that were put in place by our elders. You see, Samson came into this world given guidelines to follow from his parents. But his parents didn't just make these guidelines up. An angel of the Lord appeared unto his parents and gave him these guidelines to follow. Proverbs chapter 22 verse 28 says, "Remove not the ancient landmark which thy fathers have set." Some things may not be word for word Bible, but I've come to tell you tonight that your elders and your forefathers have set some things in place, and it may not make sense to us, but I believe that they had a visitation from God and said, no, we're not going to go to these places, and no, we're not going to partake of these things because we're going to protect the power that God has given you. You see, young people, We are living in the overflow of the promises that were given to our elders and forefathers. We are walking in harvest fields that we did not plan. We are preaching in churches that we did not start. We have the power to be a light in this dark world. We cannot let the trailblazers of this move it down just for a few temporary moments of satisfaction. We've got to hold fast to our standards in a world that doesn't have any. We've got to stay true to this doctrine, even if you get made fun of. And we've got to protect the power that God has given us. Somebody clap your hands right now. Are you thankful for your forefathers? Are you thankful for your elders tonight that paved the way, that said, we're not going to go do some things that the world does. We're not going to go to some places. We're not going to partake of some things. Those things are in place to protect us. You may be seated. So Samson is born. As a young man in Judges 14, we find that Samson goes down to the enemy's camp, who he's to deliver Israel from. He went down to the Philistines' camp, and he's supposed to deliver Israel from them. Samson goes to flirt with this enemy chick. He finds a woman that pleases his eye. Then Samson decides that, you know what? I'm going to marry a woman that's not of my own kind. He's going to marry one of the enemy's daughters. And so as him and his parents are on their way to go and get Samson married off, I find where a lion came out to attack Samson. And the Bible tells me that as Samson is on his way to marry this enemy woman, that this lion came against him, that the Spirit of the Lord came upon him. And Samson was able to defeat this lion as he's going to fulfill sin. Can I tell us tonight that even while Samson was on his way to willfully sin, the anointing came upon him. Let this young preacher tonight sound a warning to you young people. Don't mistake the anointing of God for confirmation that you're living right. And I know we just took a turn, but this is what the Lord told me to preach, and so you're just going to have to deal with it. Don't mistake the anointing for confirmation that you're living right. You see, Samson had the vow. He didn't drink the things that he wasn't supposed to drink. He probably wore the right clothes. He didn't cut his hair like he was supposed to. But I find where he still wasn't living right. Hey, just because you wear things that you're supposed to don't mean your heart's right. Young ladies, just because you wear skirts doesn't mean that you're going to heaven. I'm going to preach it straight for a few moments. Young men, just because you don't wear shorts doesn't mean that it's okay to watch TikTok for 3 hours a day and not pray at all. That's not the will of God. We can have the outside right all that we want to, but the inside could be black with sin as it could be. But if the outside ain't right either, the Lord won't be pleased with that either. For without holiness, no man shall see the Lord. You see, you can have the power of the Holy Ghost all that you want to, but if you don't protect it, you'll find yourself succumbed to the enemy. We've got to protect this power. It matters what we do on the inside, but it also matters what we do on the outside. I said our elders set some things in place. Samson's parents set some things in place. Samson, we want you to have this power so you're not going to do some things. And so long story short, for the sake of time, the woman of Timnath that Samson was messing with, she would later stab him in the back. Samson was drawn into a bad situation that looked good just for him to get stabbed in the back later. That's the danger of messing with people that are out of church. 10 minutes ago, we were all running the aisles. But this is real. Samson was drawn in for a temporary moment of lust. His eyes were looking at some things that he didn't need to be looking at. And he turned around and got stabbed in the back by the world, by the enemy that was coming against them. He was supposed to deliver them out of. Samson very evidently had a girl problem. In Judges chapter 16, we find where Samson starts to get this girlfriend. Another one. After the other one, and after the other one that he had, that were all not good. And the Bible says in Judges chapter 16, verse 4, "And it came to pass afterward that he loved a woman in the valley of Sorek, whose name was Delilah." You see, he loved Delilah. That's good right there. Check that out. He loved Delilah. You find me a verse in the Bible where it says that Delilah loved him. Find me a verse where it says that Delilah loved him. You see, your flesh loves some things of this world, but those things do not love you back. I'm going to say it again. You may love TikTok, but TikTok does not love you back. You may love the way that worldly boy treats you, young lady, but he does not love you back. If he is not consecrated, if he does not have the power of the Holy Ghost, he don't love you. This world will always stab you in the back. And so Delilah, we know she worked directly with the Philistines that wanted to kill Samson. She would ask him, "Samson, where does your strength come from?" We know the story. He said, "If you bind me with 7 green withes, then I will be weak." And so he wakes up bound in 7 green withes. Ding, 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 Samson. She's after you, bro. And we find that Samson wakes up and he busts the 7 green withes like it's nothing. And so she said, "Samson, you lied to me. You don't love me." All this foo-foo stuff that she's lying to him. And he says, okay. "Fasten me with ropes. And that is the key to my strength." And we find where Samson wakes up once again. And he broke those pieces of a brand new rope like they were just a piece of string. And so she begins to cry to him again, "Samson, you don't love me. You lied to me," all this stuff. And finally, Samson, being worn down after 2 times of lying to her, he said, "If thou weavest the 7 locks of my head with web, then I will be weak." We know that the key to the vow that Samson made was in his hair, in some of the drinks that he wouldn't drink, some of the places he wouldn't go. And he told this woman, "If you weave the 7 locks of my hair, then I will be weak." We know that weaving them would do nothing, that shaving them would do everything, that would break the vow that he made. Weaving them would do nothing, but I find where Samson, after the 3rd time of being attacked by her, trying to find his strength, that he gave in and told her where it was. He gave her a hint. Because he told her that it was in his hair, he just kind of twisted it a little bit. You see, the adversary that we have, the devil, he's as a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. He is very subtle. Like my pastor preached about not too long ago, he likes to creep in the weeds. And then when you're at the perfect spot, he will jump out at you. He will tempt you with all that he's got. And you can push back all you want to against this world. But if you keep allowing it into your life, eventually you're going to find yourself giving in to the things of this world. And I find where Samson began to kind of tell her where his strength was, but he didn't give her the full thing. And so he wakes up and his hair's tied up. And after the 3rd time, you would think Samson would begin to understand what's going on. But every time that Samson woke up, he gave in. You see, when you slowly begin to abandon the consecrations and the sacrifices and covenants that you've made to God, it will always, 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 always lead to a full loss of your strength. When you slowly begin to go from here, and then you make your way here closer to the world, you're eventually going to completely lose the power that's within you. I don't go to the movie theater. I don't watch the movies in there, but this is silly, but let me go get the popcorn in there. But I'm not going to watch a movie, but let me just go get the popcorn. I like the food. I don't go to the bar, and I know none of you do this. You can't even. You're not old enough. I don't go to the bar. But you know what? I think I'm going to go to the bar tonight and just drink water. Is that a good example? We don't go to places where things bad happen. We don't partake in things that we're not supposed to partake of. Because when we slowly begin to go to places and slowly begin to hang around people that are of this world, we're going to find ourselves going to the bar and not just drinking water. We're going to get something that... Is anybody hearing it tonight? Our elders laid down some things, and we've got to protect the power that's inside of us. Jesus, help me, Lord. And so we find where Samson says, if you shave my head, then I will be weak. And so the Bible says that Delilah made Samson fall asleep on her lap. She literally made him, is what the Bible says. She probably, never mind. She had someone come shave his head. And when he woke up, he had no power. And the enemy overtook him. And verse 20 of Judges chapter 16 says, and he wist not, because the Lord was departed from him. You see, young people, when you begin to give in to the things of this world, I believe that the Lord will depart from you. What's the Bible say? You've done all these things in my name, and you're going to cry, Lord, Lord. But you've been doing the things of the world too. And he's going to say, depart from me, you worker of iniquity. I never knew you. And I find where Samson had his head in the lap of the enemy. He'd been playing with the enemy too much. He'd been flirting with the enemy too much. He'd been going to some websites that he didn't need to be. He'd been doing something, hanging around some people that he didn't need to be hanging around. And I find where he found his head in the lap of the enemy. And then the next day he found himself powerless, and the Lord was departed from Samson. I've come to tell us, young people, tonight to sound a warning on this Friday night. It's time that the church stops sleeping in the devil's lap. I said it's time, young people, to get your head out of the devil's lap. It's time that the church stops flirting with the very thing that the devil wants to destroy us with. I wonder if I'm talking to a young person tonight. You showed up feeling powerless. You showed up defeated. You showed up beaten and bruised. It's because you've got your head in the lap of the enemy. But I've come to tell you tonight that you found grace in this house, that the Lord will resurrect you tonight, and he will set your feet on solid ground, and you will leave this place full of power and anointing to preach the gospel. You know what the Bible says, and I'm almost done. Musicians, if you want to make your way up here. The Bible says that at the end of the Nazirite vow, hear me, young people, I'm almost done. That at the end of the Nazirite vow, that he or she that's partaking in this vow or covenant with God is supposed to shave his head at the end of the covenant and throw the hair in the fire as a sacrifice to the Lord. That is how they completed the Nazirite vow, how they completed the thing that God asked them to do. They would shave their head and they would throw the thing that they gave to God in the fire. That was the final way to end the vow. I've come to ask this generation tonight, what if the one thing that's holding us back from our promises being fulfilled, what if the one thing that's holding us back from our true potential in God, we've gave it to the devil? My God, what if the one thing that's holding us back from the biggest revival we've ever seen or the biggest harvest we've ever seen is because we've got our head in the lap of the enemy and he's trying to cut our hair off? You see, there's some sacrifices that we've made to God, some things that we've consecrated to God, some things that we used to do that we don't do anymore. Hey, we need to reclaim those consecrations tonight that we used to make. Hey, we need to come and tell God, you know, I used to pray and I kind of got away from it, but God, I'm telling you, Monday when I get done, I'm going to go to my prayer closet, and Tuesday I'm going to go to my prayer closet. Lord, I haven't been quite reading my Bible like I need to, but tomorrow I'm going to get in your word, and the next day I'm going to get in your word. We've got to reconsecrate ourselves tonight, because we've got to protect the power that is within us. Stand across this house. I want us to begin to pray across this house right now. I'm not done, but I want us to pray right now. Lift your hands, lift your voice. The word of the Lord is setting in right now. Young people, hear the word of the Lord tonight. You got to protect the power. Young people, if you didn't do it before, then what makes you think it's okay to do it now? If you didn't wear it before, what makes you think you can wear less now? If you didn't watch it before, young people, then why are we watching it now? Hey, if God's asking you to get rid of something, by God, you better do it. Our sacrifice could be the key to the biggest revival this church has ever seen. Young people, now is not the time to go back on your standards. Now is not the time to go back on your holiness. I wonder if we could surround this front right now. If the Lord's talking to you, you ought to surround this front right now. If the Lord is speaking to you, you ought to surround this place right now. Come on, everybody's moving. The Lord is speaking in this house right now. I wonder if there's a couple things tonight that we could be honest with and say, Lord, I could do better on some things. God, I know I've got the Holy Ghost, and I know I haven't done the best job that I could, but tonight I'm leaving here, and I'm going to protect the power that you've got inside of me because I realize that I've got the ability to reach my school. Come on, young people, lift your hands across this house right now. As the word of the Lord is setting in right now, come on, there's some sacrifices that we need to remake from God. Come on, young people. There's some consecrations that we've got away from that our elders set in place. We're getting back to them tonight. We need to make some more promises to God right now. Lord, I told you I'd set a limit on my phone. God, I'm setting it back. I'm going to abide by it. Lord, I haven't read my Bible like I should, but Lord, tomorrow I'm getting in it. Lord, I haven't talked to you in a while, but God, I'm going to do it. Young people, you've got the power of the Holy Ghost. You have got to protect this power, or else the Lord will depart from you. He will say to you in that day, depart from me, ye worker of iniquity. Come on, young people, I wish the word of the Lord was set in. I wish you'd take a little bit of Holy Ghost pride in your standards and say, I dress the way I do because my elders laid that foundation. And I know that that's the key to getting me to heaven. Come on, young people. There's an anointing that's falling in this place right now. There's an anointing that's falling right now. And it's because of your consecration. I'm telling you, young people, the Lord will bless you for your consecration. The Lord will strengthen you for your sacrifices. Come on, young people, across this house, make some recommitments to God. God, I'm not going to do those things that I've been doing because I'm a blood-bought child of the God. Come on, young people, don't quench the spirit right now. Come on, everybody praying in the room right now. There's awesome things that we could do a little bit better at. Come on, generation. You're the greatest generation. You got to protect this power that's inside of you. You have the power of the Holy Ghost. You've got the anointing. You've just got to protect it. Yeah, come on, the Lord's moving across this house right now. Find somebody to pray with right now. Link up with a brother, sister to sister, brother to brother. Lord, I know I may have missed a few services, Lord, but I'm not missing another one. Come on, young people, pray with each other right now as the anointing of the Holy Ghost falls on you. Come on, if you haven't spoken tongues in a while, lift your voice right now. The Lord will refill you right now. Come on, there's anointing being poured out right now. In the name of Jesus Christ, in the all-powerful name of Jesus Christ, we reconsecrate ourselves to you right now, Lord.
Lord, I give myself to you right now, God. I give you those worldly desires. I give you those lusts of the flesh. For he that walketh after the Spirit will not fulfill the lusts of the flesh. Come on, generation. You're the greatest generation. Protect this power in the name of Jesus Christ.
Come on, everybody, still praying across the house right now. In the name of Jesus. I've come to tell you tonight that Samson was not a failure. Samson was not a failure because he's looked at as one of the heroes of our faith. In the book of Hebrews, he's mentioned as a hero. Even though we know that Samson did not live up to the potential that God had called him to. Samson had a restoration at the end of his life because he was still able to do a work for God before he died. But personally, tonight, every day, I'm just going to be honest with you. I don't want to be like Samson. He may have been a hero of the faith, but I don't want to be like Samson. Because I've made up in my mind, I made it up a long time ago, that I'm not going to flirt with the things of this world. I'm going to take heed to the teachings of my elders, and I'm going to protect myself and the power that is within me from the enemy. I want us to lift our hands across this house one more time. As the word that's went forth, not my word, but the word of the Lord, as it sets in one more time, as it marinates across this body from front to back, from side to side, Lord, I pray. Lord, you've spoken this house, not my word, Lord. And Lord, it hasn't been by my power and my might, Lord, but it's been by your spirit, God. You very evidently spoke in this house. Come on, every hand lifted praying right now. The Lord's still moving. Lord, I pray that your word would marinate in this house, God. That the word for this generation would go forth, Lord. That we would hold true to the standards that have been set before us, God. That we wouldn't question the things, Lord, that you've asked us to do. Oh, I pray, Lord, that when we leave this house, God, we leave here on fire for your word, Lord. Realizing that we have the power of your spirit, Lord. The ability to do things, God, that you've asked us to do, Lord. In the name of Jesus Christ, I thank you, Lord. I thank you, Lord. I thank you, Lord. Amen. So good to have you all in the house tonight. If you're praying, still continue praying. At this time, we're going to begin to move into the afterburner portion of tonight. What a wonderful move of the Lord has been in this place. As the Lord moved in this house, aren't you thankful for the moving of the Lord? My. I'm so thankful that he always shows up. Amen. They said through those double doors, I believe in the third building is where the afterburner is going to begin to take place. And if you're still praying in this house, continue to pray. But you are dismissed in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen.